All right. The first principle that we want to discuss as it relates, remember we talked about what does God expect of men? We started off with what does God expect of everyone? In your outline, I put that down there so you could be reminded of it. We named three basic things that God expects of everyone. Did I put that on yours? I guess this is just my review. I didn't do that. But here's the review. He expects all of us to have an unconditional commitment to him. Secondly, an unconditional commitment to the Word of God as a basis for living, and an unconditional commitment to the acquisition of God's truth, that we are committed to learning the ways of God so that we can formulate our lives accordingly. Though by now you ought to be teachers, as Christians have been Christians many, many, many years, though by now you ought to be teachers, we are not acquainted with the elementary truths of God's Word. But Hebrews tells us that we've been in it long enough that we should know these things. It says, anyone who lives on milk is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. So it takes constant use, and that's what that unconditional commitment to the acquisition of God's truth. Then second, we then spent some time talking specifically to our men. What does God expect of a man? Remember, this was all in the context of a biblical profile. When you think about it, as I've mentioned to you, many of you have been managers and have been positions of authority where you had to hire or whatever. And as you did that, you spent a lot of time looking for looking at backgrounds and checking people out. And some people even hire companies to do it for them. And yet we'll jump into relationships knowing nothing about a person, and there's a way that you can over a period of time develop a profile. We have to have a profile and that profile must coincide with what God says is expected of both men and both women. That's how you know. And it takes all the guesswork out of it, I think. Now, let me say this. Is anyone perfect? No, we're all flawed. We're human beings. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. We're all flawed, but we have ideals that we live by here. And part of conventional wisdom tells us, I think, especially as it relates to this topic on our women, it tells us that Proverbs 31 is the ideal and that no woman can possess all these characteristics. But it is my commitment. It's kind of like prophecy. People say, well, there's just some things we weren't meant to know. Well, we generally say that because we haven't even read about it. It's right there in front of our eyes to tell us what we should think about things. So it's not that, don't listen to conventional wisdom about how things ought to be. Know what the Bible says about it, and you have a sure word of prophecy. Okay? No prophecy of Scripture ever came about by the prophet's own interpretation. But holy men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God superintended the writing. So you can have the guarantee that what is in the Scripture is of God. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it has everything we need for life and godliness. And it says it is God-breathed. Real quick. There's two words in that text. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is revelation, which is a Greek word, apokalypsis, the revelation of God. And there is the movement of that revelation onto the paper, which is the speaking of God through prophets. Apocalypsis is illustrated like this. If you didn't see it, what do I have behind this? Do you know? Yes or no? Shake your head. Yes or no. You don't know. My telephone. I just apocalypsis you. I just revealed myself to you. That's revelation. The writing of it into Scripture is inspiration. That is, and the word comes from two Greek words, theos and pneuma. Theos meaning God, inspiration, theos God, and then pneuma meaning breath or spirit. God breathed. So when we read these things, these are God-breathed. They're from God. Some of you will say, well, there's all kinds of errors in it. And we say, well, there isn't. Remember, inspiration applies to the original autographs. But I have to tell you, there may be some transition errors along the way just through copying errors from one text to the other. But you have a sure word of prophecy. And remember, this word of prophecy is as if Jesus is speaking to you. Do you believe that? In the past, God spoke through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. It's as if the scripture is from Jesus himself. So, a word about Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Here's what it says, if you would. A wife of noble character who can find... Is Josh here? Is he putting stuff up on the screen? Sam is? Sam, do you have the text, a word about Proverbs 31, 10 through 31? Keep going. It should have the actual text. Do you have the text from the master outline? If not, that's okay. I'll read it to everybody. Okay, here's what it says. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens up her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Ladies, I'm going to encourage you with something as you talk to your friends, as you think about this stuff on your own, and men as well. God has such a high view of women. And what we have done over the last 50 years is essentially polarized women from men, and that they equated value with function, and we are all equal in value, yet we have different functions, and that we are to glory in those things as the scripture teaches us. But again, as I said before, conventional wisdom, as we begin this, tells us that Proverbs 31 is the ideal. It's not reality. No one can possess these things. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And it doesn't mean that you're there. It's kind of like if any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Okay? And then it lays out a group of characteristics that are characteristic of this person. As a man wants to serve and be a pastor, he's constantly developing in these things. He's not a striker. He's not a fighter. He's not given to much wine. He is easy. He is temperate. He's all these various things that we're all constantly growing and developing. And so it is with the woman. And these are things, ladies, that you can notch off and decide that these are important to you and that you can do. And it's a reality check for all of us. It really is. For the guys, it's for this is there are some basics that God sees a woman in such a way that these are the things that you want to be looking for. And ladies, these are the things that will attract the right man to you. Because all of these things that are in here, with the possible exception of she puts her hand to the distaff and spindle and all that kind of stuff, but all the other aspects of it, the character traits in it, if you possess those, the law of attraction will draw that kind of man to you. Remember, you develop your profile and you become the profile. Man, it makes everything so much easier when you do that. That way you can stop the hunt. So the first principle is this. And we're going to be in this for a few weeks. It won't take a lot of time, but if you'll work with me. And it's all from Proverbs 31. Or from Proverbs. God expects a woman to understand that inner character, write that in, inner character is of greater value than deceptive words or external appearance. Think about this. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The fear of God and the development of character is the highest goal, ladies, that we should have, and men, for all of us. Now, let's talk about charm. The use of charm. The use of charm to get her way is deceptive. Okay? Charm is deceptive. I didn't write it. That's what it says. Charm is deceptive. Here's what it means. And there can be good charm. Okay? I mean, who does not like a graceful lady, right? Who does not like someone who is elegant? Everybody does. But charm means favor, grace, or elegance. It's appealing, however, to the physical senses, and has three negative characteristics involving the use of words and body language. So where'd you get that from? The scripture. Because I thought about this in some scriptures. Charm involves the use of, are you ready? Seductive words. Charm involves the use of seductive words. Here's a scripture, ladies, for you to know, and men, for you to know. And it has to do with wisdom. And it says, wisdom will, first of all, for the women, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths, who walk in dark ways and delight in doing wrong, who rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and are devious in their ways. Ladies, if you can pursue wisdom, you will be able to discern a man who is deceptive or corrupt. Conversely, ladies, men, this says for you, wisdom will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. She gives no thought to her way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she doesn't even know it. That's why the scripture kind of gets it in our face to get our attention, and the Spirit of God quickens us. Because depending upon how you were raised, you know, I think one of the things that I always did with my daughters is, and I learned this early on, and I think I learned it from a youth director at some point, but I was in church is where I learned it. And there's a tendency of parents or whatever to want to dress their daughter in such a way that attracts people to their clothing. But if character is the issue, then outer beauty really is not. Although everybody likes outer beauty, don't misunderstand. We all need to dress appropriately. But I always told my daughters when they would get a new dress or put on some new shoes or whatever, I always told them this. I approached it from this perspective. First to my little Sarah, my third born, I said, Sarah, she goes, Daddy, look at my new dress. I go, Sarah, you make that dress look beautiful. Focuses on her as opposed to the dress. Or, Rebecca, you make those shoes look elegant. And I really did. I focused on that. I worked very hard at that. And so charm is deceptive. It's a way that people get their way in being deceptive. And when you think about this, what we want to do is we don't want to use seductive words in any form or fashion, or teasing words, or send mixed messages in any way. Secondly, charm involves the use of persuasive words. And I thought, where is a scripture that talks about this? Now, I want you to visualize. Here is a woman who is at her house, and the man of wisdom, he's watching something take place. He said, I saw the simple, one of average or below average intelligence. I noticed among the young men a man who had no sense. In other words, he's looking from the outside. He looks through his house, and he's looking out on the street, and he sees this young man walking. And across the street is a beautiful woman outside the door. And he tells the story. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading and as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him. He says, I'm watching this happen. And he didn't say she was a prostitute, but she was dressed like a prostitute and had crafty intent. She was unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at her home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. And he's describing this type of person. She took hold of him and kissed him. And with a brazen face, she said, today I fulfilled my vows. I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I have found you. She says, I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. In other words, we've got time here to develop this situation. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. So she is going to use, she will use seductive words. She's going to use persuasive words, and those persuasive words obviously are going to involve physical touch, of course. She walks right up to him, and she kisses him. Can you imagine? He's out of nowhere. And this guy's observing. He's observing all of this from the lattice, looking out over the street. It's pretty amazing, really. But then think about this. Charm involves also the use of flirtatious, body language. Flirtatious means to behave in such a way as to suggest a playful sexual attraction to someone. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way of life. Keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty. Let her captivate you with her eyes. I mean, can we talk? I mean, this is such a clear statement for the woman to be careful about various signals that she might send. But guys, to going away and concentrating on that person and how they possibly captivate you. You see this, we see this in all kinds of scenarios. We see it on TV, we see it in the various ways. But it involves the use of flirtatious body language. Flirtatious meaning to behave in such a way as to suggest a playful sexual attraction. So that's what a charm is. It says charm is deceitful. Don't be deceived by it. Ladies, don't demonstrate charm in that way. Be nice, be kind, be loving, be helpful, serve. You know, do the things that the scripture says that a Christian woman does. But don't do it in such a way that it will put you in a position where you're using your charm to get your way. You know, because everybody has real short hair. Back then, you gotta be kidding me. Everybody had longer hair or facial hair or whatever. But I went with the program. But here's how you get around that kind of stuff. Then we developed, it was at Cedarville College at that time, and we did what we called was the Cedarville salute. Whenever we saw a person in authority, because our hair was longer and over our ears, we always went like this to get around the rules, you know. And you know, rules and regulations as it relates to that stuff, those are really all matters of personal freedom. So, but at the same time, even in that, what they were trying to do is they were want a clear distinction between men and women. I get it. But even with long hair, I guarantee I did not even slightly look like a woman. So, and if that's the case, tell that to all those Civil War heroes. Right? So, that being said, character is the issue. Now, let's move on to the second one. God expects a woman to understand that her beauty is passing with age. And the development of character, the development of character will give her the ability to live her life now and into the future through the eyes of God. I would encourage you ladies to dress and look as nice and as pretty as possible. Wear makeup, please wear makeup, please wear makeup. You know, but at the same time, understand that the reality is men and women, beauty, handsomeness, by the way, as it relates to men in terms of their external, you know what Proverbs says? It says, gentleness makes a man handsome. Isn't that good that's in the book of Proverbs? Gentleness makes a man handsome. What is that? It's about inner character. And so it is with the woman. Because of her inner character, she recognizes that the reality of life is that we're going to age. Right? I remember when I was teaching this when we were back in our late 40s at Pathfinders over at Fellowship of the Woodlands. It was pretty humorous to watch people's response. But the fact of the matter is this is reality. So what's going to carry you through? What's going to carry you, ladies, as you age? It's going to be your character. That is what is appealing. Your kindness, your sweetness, your willingness to serve, your willingness to give, your willingness to help. You know, your willingness to move things in the right direction. And if men were smart, the number one thing they look at is character. Let me tell you a story. In the Old Testament, Samuel was commissioned by God to go to King Saul and tell him that he was going to be the king. Now, Samuel did not want to do that. Why? Because he felt like he was rejected as a prophet by the people. But God said, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. So you just go do this. And the people picked out a man who was tall. He's a head taller than everybody else. He was handsome. Externally, this guy was the bomb, okay, if you will. So then, a number of things happen through this man's life, and eventually he does the wrong thing, and God tells him that his kingdom is taken from him. And he tells Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. There is the new king. He's got 12 sons. He walks in, and he goes through each son. So this is not the one. This is not the one. He comes up and says, Lord, he's not here. You know what God said to him? Man looks on the outward. God looks on the inward. Go out into the field. There was a young man, ruddy complexion, not very good looking. Probably average height like everybody else. And what was Samuel doing? Like what we all do. This is why we keep getting into the same kind of situations. We develop a profile in our mind and we break out of that because of a bad situation. We turn right around and we look at the same person. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. I want to challenge all of us, number one, to look for people with real Christian character. That's the key. That will be the real key to happiness. Because then they will want to do the things that are right before God, and you won't find yourself in all kinds of conflicting situations. And this is what Samuel wasn't doing. Go out into the field, and David, King David, was the one who had been anointed as chosen by God. What was Samuel doing? He was looking for somebody tall, looking for somebody who was a head taller than everybody else, who was handsome, just like Saul. It was inner character that counted. That's why later, David, even after he committed adultery and murdered someone, authorized the murder so that he could have this man's wife. Later, as he's forgiven by God, he cries out to God. He knows he's been a public disgrace. It's a public failure. He cries out to God, and when he dies, the kingdom is left to Solomon. And when Solomon fails, God says, I'm going to divide your kingdom because of your failure, but I'm not going to do it now. And the reason I'm not going to do it now is because of your father, David, a man after my own heart. After he committed adultery and murder. Guys, that's why in the principle, the number one thing for men, what God expects of a man, is you keep getting back up no matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times you make a mistake or you fail. You get right back up and you keep going on for God. God puts all that behind. And that's a great example of that right there. And so it is with the development of character for a lady. It will give her the ability to look at her life now and into the future through the eyes of God. And here's what it will do. Proverbs 31:25. I love this. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. That is so profound. Strength. You know what that means? Write this in. She has a no-fail attitude. She fails, she gets back up, just like a man. She fails, she gets back up. She's clothed in strength, dignity. She sees herself as a person of great worth. She sees herself as a person of great worth. And lastly, optimism. She has confidence. She has confidence about the future and does not live in fear. If you look down this week through Proverbs 31 and you read it, and by the time you get to this verse in verse 25, you will see why she has confidence, because she has followed the ways of God. And her inner character drives her in that direction. She does not fear the future. She has a mature view of the future. She has confidence about the future. So the scripture says in 31:30, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Isn't that good? 1 Peter 3:3-4. If you look at the New Testament, it's a clear statement. Here, I even made a copy of this. I thought about this afterwards. Y'all can pass these down here. There's a couple of copies right there. Three. Jeff, if you pass that on down that way. Would you help me, Keith? Oh, here you go. Josh is going to help. Thanks, Josh. In 1 Peter 3, this is pretty profound, because in this passage, it talks about a woman and what her relationship to her husband. should be, even if he does not follow the ways of God. So here a woman finds herself, she's married. And in that culture, they were assigned marriages. You know, they were put together in their marriage by parents. So it's possible that a woman gets put together with somebody because of family. She ends up marrying somebody who doesn't know or believe the ways of God. Could be that she finds the Lord after their marriage or whatever. But look what it says. In the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won without words by the behavior of the character of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. It says, these are the things that are pleasing to God. Then it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry, or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty, here are the character traits, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in this way, the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husband, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. So Sarah and Abraham are headed into Egypt, and they come across the Egyptians, and Sarah is beautiful. And Abraham says to her, tell them you're my sister. Now everybody thinks that Abraham chickened out on his wife. I mean, that's conventional wisdom. I think Abraham had enough wisdom to understand what he was dealing with here, because if he would have said that's his wife, they would have killed him, taken her, and wiped out the whole group. Tell him you're my sister. So she does that. Just imagine. So she's taken off to the harem in preparation to be with the Pharaoh. Meanwhile, God puts a situation on the Pharaoh. He goes into a panic because he looks out the window and he just happens to see Sarah and Abraham, quote, sporting in the King James Version. They were either cuddling or kissing or something like that. And he calls Abraham in and goes, hey, I thought you said that was your sister. That's your wife. Take your stuff and get out of here. Now, what would if Pharaoh would have said, no, man, don't do this, don't do this, and would have panicked? She had enough inner character to trust God. Look what it says. This is really good. She obeyed Abraham, calling him her Lord. It means in the sense of she submitted to his will. And what did it end up doing? She did not give way to fear, and Sarah is the one who saved the children of Abraham and his families and his flocks and his sheep and everything else. It is the woman who came through by doing what was right. This is so profound, ladies, so profound. So that they said, be like, it's, and he aligns it with this idea of outward adornment. He doesn't say, don't have these things. Says your beauty should not come from outward adornment. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have outward adornment. What it means is it should come at like elaborate hairstyles and wearing of fine jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Ladies, if that's what your goal is, you will draw a kind of man who will appreciate that because he will see you for your character. Which at the end of the day, if it has any sense at all, and he's the right kind of guy, he will see that and will fall in line with your values as you fall in line with his. So, in our study, principle number one, God expects woman to understand that inner character is of greater value than deceptive words or external appearance. Questions or comments? Thank you all. I invite you to the next service. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your scripture, for listening and willing listening hearts. God, it's so easy to get led astray. Father, as we've learned in the book of Ephesians, the pervasiveness of our old sinful nature is of such power, of such control, that, Lord, we must avail ourselves of the weapons of our warfare. And Father, as we approach our service now this morning in worship, that we come to that one most powerful weapon, more powerful than any, that without which none of these others will work. Help us to learn this, Lord. Please help us to follow you, Lord. Help us to watch our words. Please, oh God, forgive us for our failures. We love you, Lord. Bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go. See you next round.